you will hear an interview with a sports writer about football referees. For questions 16 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 1 minute in which to look at part three.
I'm talking to Martin Groves, who's written a series of articles about football referees. Martin, something you discovered, didn't you, that most people might not realise, is how competitive the average referee is.
Yes. Referees regard selection for the most glamorous matches, such as cup finals and international games, with every bit as much longing and pride as players do. Mm. They suffer from tension before and during matches. They admit to jealousy and vindictiveness among their fraternity. They become minor celebrities. They receive letters of praise and sour abuse from people they've never met. They see themselves as part of the action, closer to it than managers and coaches. Just as with the players, it's when a referee stops getting letters and is no longer being booed outside football grounds that he worries most about his future.
What's the relationship between players and referees really like then, Martin?
Referees like to feel that they are respected by players for their astuteness and their fairness. Mm. They are, in this respect, like school teachers who regard themselves as close to the boys, or police detectives who think that give and take with criminals is the best way to deal with them in the long run. For example, I spoke to one referee who expressed this attitude explicitly when he said, with evident pleasure and pride, that a certain international player, known for his unpredictable temper, responds to the right treatment. By and large, he found professional footballers were a great crowd, which is generous of him, considering the low opinion players are often prepared to give of referees. It's striking how closely referees like to align themselves with the players, in contrast with the scorn with which players will detach themselves from connection with referees. There's no question about who would like to change places with whom.
Now, what makes someone want to be a referee?
It's a romantic and, it seems to me, most unrealistic view of refereeing to say, as one president of the International Football Authority, FIFA, once did, that it is a job for volunteers who are doing a service to their country. Hmm. Plainly, it is not public-spiritedness that motivates men into the ambition of controlling big football matches, even if the authorities insist on treating them like servants of duty. As with managers and directors, there is undoubtedly a deep absorption in football here, and the material reward is insubstantial, to say the least. But there is much more satisfying of ego than disinterest in the motive. Mm. The referee wants to be recognised in the game, and he wants to feel he's important to it. He even wants to be liked.
Now, referees get assessed, don't they? They get given marks for their performance in each game mm-hmm. by representatives of the clubs involved, don't they?
Yes. And the reports on the referee are sent to the football authorities, to whom the referees are directly responsible. So the referee is in the unsatisfactory position of a consultant brought in to adjudicate, instructed to brook no interference, and then made subject to the criticism of his employers on the grounds that he was not up to the job. Mm. Under these circumstances, one referee I spoke to could hardly be said to be overstating the referee's predicament when he said that he needed, above all else, a skin like a rhinoceros and to be as deaf as a post. Fire is breathed on him from the crowd. Obscenity may be muttered at him by the players. And afterwards, he can be accused of both laxity and overzealousness by assessors. As that referee said, the referee's only got to make one bad mistake, and everything else he does in the game is forgotten.
So they're under a lot of pressure. I mean, referees get some awful stick from players, don't they? Mm. That must put them off quite a bit.
Yes, but a referee ought to be able to differentiate quickly between the spontaneous expletives of angered players and the malevolent abuse of those trying to intimidate him. Mm. In a game which creates as much passion and as much demand on a man's resources as does professional football, there are bound to be moments when gamesmanship and outright villainy test a referee to his limit. There are also times when he has to decide instantly which of the two is present in an incident. The good referee is not the man who plays safe with either a blind eye or a public display of moral outrage, but the one who can unobtrusively deal with the offence and defuse the situation.
Who'd be a referee? Thanks, Martin. And now, our special feature, Playing Away.
Now you'll hear part three again.
I'm talking to Martin Groves, who's written a series of articles about football referees. Martin, something you discovered, didn't you, that most people might not realise, is how competitive the average referee is.
Yes. Referees regard selection for the most glamorous matches, such as cup finals and international games, with every bit as much longing and pride as players do. They suffer from tension before and during matches. They admit to jealousy and vindictiveness among their fraternity. They become minor celebrities. They receive letters of praise and sour abuse from people they've never met. They see themselves as part of the action, closer to it than managers and coaches. Just as with the players, it's when a referee stops getting letters and is no longer being booed outside football grounds that he worries most about his future.
What's the relationship between players and referees really like then, Martin?
Referees like to feel that they are respected by players for their astuteness and their fairness. They are, in this respect, like school teachers who regard themselves as close to the boys, or police detectives who think that give and take with criminals is the best way to deal with them in the long run. For example, I spoke to one referee who expressed this attitude explicitly when he said, with evident pleasure and pride, that a certain international player, known for his unpredictable temper, responds to the right treatment. By and large, he found professional footballers were a great crowd, which is generous of him, considering the low opinion players are often prepared to give of referees. It's striking how closely referees like to align themselves with the players, in contrast with the scorn with which players will detach themselves from connection with referees. There's no question about who would like to change places with whom.
Now, what makes someone want to be a referee?
It's a romantic and, it seems to me, most unrealistic view of refereeing to say, as one president of the International Football Authority, FIFA, once did, that it is a job for volunteers who are doing a service to their country. Plainly, it is not public-spiritedness that motivates men into the ambition of controlling big football matches, even if the authorities insist on treating them like servants of duty. As with managers and directors, there is undoubtedly a deep absorption in football here, and the material reward is insubstantial, to say the least. But there is much more satisfying of ego than disinterest in the motive. The referee wants to be recognised in the game, and he wants to feel he's important to it. He even wants to be liked.
Now, referees get assessed, don't they? They get given marks for their performance in each game by representatives of the clubs involved, don't they?
Yes. And the reports on the referee are sent to the football authorities, to whom the referees are directly responsible. So the referee is in the unsatisfactory position of a consultant brought in to adjudicate, instructed to brook no interference, and then made subject to the criticism of his employers on the grounds that he was not up to the job. Under these circumstances, one referee I spoke to could hardly be said to be overstating the referee's predicament when he said that he needed, above all else, a skin like a rhinoceros and to be as deaf as a post. Fire is breathed on him from the crowd. Obscenity may be muttered at him by the players. And afterwards, he can be accused of both laxity and overzealousness by assessors. As that referee said, The referee's only got to make one bad mistake, and everything else he does in the game is forgotten.
So they're under a lot of pressure. I mean, referees get some awful stick from players, don't they? Mm. That must put them off quite a bit.
Yes, but a referee ought to be able to differentiate quickly between the spontaneous expletives of angered players and the malevolent abuse of those trying to intimidate him. In a game which creates as much passion and as much demand on a man's resources as does professional football, there are bound to be moments when gamesmanship and outright villainy test a referee to his limit. There are also times when he has to decide instantly which of the two is present in an incident. The good referee is not the man who plays safe with either a blind eye or a public display of moral outrage, but the one who can unobtrusively deal with the offence and defuse the situation.
Who'd be a referee? Thanks, Martin. And now, our special feature, Playing Away.
That's the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4.